again, surfers on the lines of time. Welcome to Otherware, the show designed to help you get a handle on your hologram. Feel like an upgrade, download, reset, or synchronization to the 2006 timeline? Well, you've come to the right place, as Otherware welcomes back Starfire Tor to the show, and we're going to get right into time travel, timeline anomalies, time shifts, reality shifts, and a whole lot more. Starfire was with us 2 weeks ago to share her story, and what a story it is. But we only got to hear the first half, so you'll hear the conclusion this week, and I do hope that you'll stay with us for the next 2 hours. Starfire is a respected Psi researcher, scholar and experiencer of coexisting timelines, timeline anomalies such as time shifts, and she spends much of her time working as the developer of applied reality shift science, including reality shift manifestation, and she appeared on the program to discuss her stunning discoveries, as well as explaining what she calls the core matrix. This week, we will cap it all off with a roundup of part one. So, for all of you who didn't catch the show, you'll be able to catch up and conclude the interview with Starfire's take on the way our brains work as the software for the core matrix, how to travel safely in the astral world, and we will find out whether Starfire has ever met any other versions of herself as she has journeyed into the vortexes and coexisting timelines. It'll open your mind to new ideas about time travel in general, and I hope will provide you with some useful keys that you may use in your own life to create a life that is more empowered, fulfilling, and creative, because that is what Otherware is all about. If you're new to the show, thanks for joining me. I'm Liz Miller, and I'll be your host, and Otherware is anything that activates, enhances, or evolves the inner technologies of the multidimensional human. Before Starfire joins us on the air, I would like to make an announcement about someone who'll be appearing on the program in 2 weeks. I'm extremely, extremely excited about this upcoming show, as it will be my guest's debut media appearance, despite many other requests. Her name is Amanda Guggenheimer, and I do hope that once you hear what she'll be doing, that you tell as many people as you know about the broadcast. This program will be aired on Friday, September the 29th, if you're in the US, and Saturday, September the 30th, if you're in Australia or the Pacific region. Amanda Guggenheimer is one of Australia's leading trance channels and author of the newly released The Lightworker's Companion, which she channeled from the Ascended Masters, and which I've read. And I can tell you now that after reading it, I really do feel as though I've been given a profoundly deeper understanding of our multidimensional light body systems, and I already thought I had a pretty good grasp of those, the geometry inherent within them and all things, and how this all ties in with our teams, as I like to call them, those unseen beings or, quote, invisible helpers, unquote, that we feel guiding us at times, and who we can connect with in meditation to help in our spiritual development on the inner and outer planes. Amanda Guggenheimer works with a very high level of integrity and consciousness, and I don't usually promote channels on this program. I've only had a couple on before, but I can attest to her abilities as one of the Ascended Masters she works with is one of my favourites, Saint Germain. And last week I had the opportunity to have a session with Saint Germain myself through Amanda. And I'm pretty familiar with his energy because I've been working with Saint Germain in my own meditations for quite some time, and it feels very lovely that Amanda and I have been brought together in this way. The session itself was one of the most powerful and wonderful experiences I've ever had, and now you will have the opportunity to hear him speak to you, directly to you, in 2 weeks. Does that sound like a challenge or what? When Amanda appears on the program, she'll not only be discussing her book, which is full of step-by-step exercises and meditations to assist you to connect with higher aspects of yourself and your guides, she will also be channeling Saint Germain live, and he will be delivering a message specifically for the Otherware audience. And I feel very honoured to be able to be part of a broadcast like this. So I do hope that you really get on the phone or send out the emails, because I want as many people listening to this as possible. Please let people know. As a footnote, I'd like to say that I always advise that it pays to be discerning, and this program is designed to let you make up your own mind, but to use your powers of discernment in the process. I think I find guests who have pretty important messages to share, but then it's up to you to take away what you find to be useful and maybe put some of it in the too hard basket so that you can look at it later, and the rest you can just discard. And in the process, use your feelings as your guide. If something doesn't feel right, just get rid of it. Now, when Otherware returns, we will be joined by Starfire Tor. In the meantime, let's have some house music. Let's have another listen to the latest single from Dennis Ferrer. It's on King Street Records, our wonderful sponsors. Thank you so much for all of the great music that you give us to play. And I was playing this well before it was released, but now that it's out, let's have another listen to it. It's getting huge airplay in the clubs, and it's called Underground Is My Home.
Deep, deep, where the sun don't shine, is a place that I call home. Deep, deep, where the sun don't shine, is a place that I call home. Where the planetary alignment is right, and the DJ cuts out the light. Is where I'm home. Deep, deep, where the sun don't shine, is a place that I call home.
Ooh, it is, yeah.
Where the planetary alignment is right, and the DJ cuts out the light. Is
Sai Tor is a respected Psi researcher, scholar, and experiencer who is the discoverer of time shifts, the core matrix, and is the developer of applied reality shift science, including reality shift manifestation and reality shift healing. She is also dedicated to proactively applying her knowledge towards creating a better world. Starfire Tor is well known for her documented ability to see future events using her out-of-body experiences and Psi data download techniques, and whenever possible she uses her abilities to help those in need. In an effort to connect with others who can Psi see future events, thereby utilizing the combined input to help others, Starfire Tor created the Interdimension ID list at Yahoo Groups, and you can also find her on the internet at starfiretor.com. It's my great pleasure to welcome her to the show. Starfire Tor, it's wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for being here on Otherwhere.
You're so welcome.
Thank you. So I can't wait to get into all of these incredible subjects that we're going to be talking about, but the first thing I would like to mention right off the bat is that time travel does exist. It is a reality, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You have had some amazing experiences with time travel, and not just that, with timeline anomalies. Would you explain what a timeline anomaly is and what the terminologies are that you've created around this?
Right. These are phrases that I coined based on my research into time shifts, and basically a timeline anomaly or a dual timeline conflict is where you have knowledge of or experience something and you know that it exists in your reality, such as you travel down the same road every day, many times a day, you know what the street looks like, you know about the buildings and the people and the colors and the trees, and then one day you travel down that same road and there's a building there that was never there before. It wasn't there the day before. It is absolutely physically impossible for that structure to have been built there, and yet, there it is. What do you do with that information? This is why it's a dual timeline conflict. You have a memory of the street without the building. You have a memory of the street with the building. Only one of these memories can be correct. Correct? No. These are coexisting timelines. These are two different yet similar timelines. I've heard people use the phrase bleeding into one into the other, but actually there's been an editing process that has happened. And something in that person's brain has allowed them to retain the memory of both of these coexisting timelines, one with the house and the other without. So that's what a timeline anomaly brings. In the world of quantum mechanics, it would seem to be impossible based on most quantum mechanical theories, but in truth, if a quantum mechanical theory does not involve psi and coexisting timelines, that quantum mechanical theory is missing the boat. So I'm sure that many of your listeners have experience some sort of timeline anomaly in their life. I prefer to call it coexisting timelines because I don't think of them as running parallel, like a line would run parallel or a street would run parallel. In very many ways, it exists, coexists, in the same time and space. However, each coexisting timeline has its own frequency. Like a radio, if you listen to the radio, you would have a different frequency for a different station. They're all existing and broadcasting in the same space, only separated by frequency. And if you can tune into that frequency, you can listen to the radio station. And that's very much the way that coexisting timelines work. They are frequencies. And how our brain tunes into them determines which coexisting timeline is dominant in our consciousness and awareness. How's that?
Oh, I think that is absolutely correct, that our brains are integral to perceiving different timelines.
Correct.
And that there's actually much more in that's working beside our brain in terms of our multidimensional anatomy that we are relying on to help us perceive these coexisting timelines as well.
Well, I began to collect these type of anomalies through my life, starting when I was a child. And I began to think about them, and I would not let them go. And I also noticed how the mind would create this coping thing where you would begin to make excuses that somehow you didn't think about it right, you misremembered something, lots of excuses, except for the one thing we needed to do, not make excuses for it. Accept that it's happening and find out why. And that's what I did, Liz. So people can walk into their closet, they can have their number one favorite shirt, has always been blue, and suddenly it's pink. Now, that didn't happen in the wash. What happened? How did their favorite shirt turn from blue to pink? That is a dual timeline memory conflict. That's a timeline anomaly, and generally it means that a time shift has occurred. These are the symptoms, the glitches, that the human brain retains these leftover memories from other coexisting timelines. I don't think we're supposed to remember these things, but we do.
So if you put it that way, that means that there are multiple versions of us, possibly infinite versions of ourselves, that are possibly existing, well, are hopefully existing, on all of these other coexisting timelines. Is that correct? Or because of the infinite number of coexisting timelines that could possibly exist, does that mean that there would be maybe, you know, a percentage of those timelines where we don't exist on those timelines at all?
That's right.
Yeah?
Here's how, this is the simplest way that I can describe it. Most everybody, in fact, probably all of your listeners work with computers, okay? So we all know that we have a hard drive, and we know that the hard drive stores the software and the programs and the memory, okay?
Right.
Now, let's say that you're going to open up a Word program to write a letter, okay? And you write the letter, and then you save it because you intend to come back and continue it. And when you open up the letter again, you make some revisions. Now, you keep the original letter, but you save a copy. So now you have two copies of the letter, but they're different, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, in our real world, we have something called the core matrix. I used to call it the matrix. But when the Matrix movie came out, I decided that I needed to add a word to make a differentiation between it, because the movie The Matrix doesn't quite get my research properly. It's close, but not correct. So the core matrix is, in effect, the hard drive to all of these coexisting timelines. And every time we have a coexisting timeline, it is saved to the core matrix. Now, most of the time, these coexisting timelines will be streaming, will be running, okay?
Yes.
So how many copies of the letter are you going to work on before you get it just right? How many coexisting timelines are going to be edited until they're just right? So how many coexisting timelines are there? I don't know. I just know that each and every one of them are saved to the hard drive. Okay?
Okay.
Now, how many of us are in them as long as we are alive? In a timeline, we're in that timeline. And a piece of our soul is crossing into that timeline. We are multidimensional souls. We are multidimensional creatures. But we don't always have a multidimensional awareness. But when you have a timeline anomaly experience, when you understand about the core matrix and time shifts, suddenly, that awareness level opens up, the light switch goes on, and you will never, ever, ever, ever not know about the greater world that we really live in, the multiple world that we live in. But because we have all of these coexisting timelines where we have, I'm going to call them virtual reality worlds, for lack of a better term, and we are bioforms, biolives, within these virtual reality worlds that are actually coexisting timelines. And the most real thing that are in all of these coexisting timelines are our soul. Our soul is our true selves. And our souls can coexist in all of these coexisting timelines. The soul always retains the memory. But the soul has, there's a big disconnect between the soul and the brain and the body. That's the struggle that we have as biohumans within these coexisting timelines. There's a program that's supposed to work that only allows us to be aware, consciously aware, of whatever dominant coexisting timeline we are in. Okay?
Right.
But that program and that interface, it doesn't work perfectly. Or maybe it's an intentional glitch so that we would learn one day about this greater self, this greater part of ourselves. And these time shifts are about the altering of events, large events. And these events begin the domino effect, and that's what changes the course of history.
Mm-hmm. So what we're talking about then is, you know, when we talk about glitches in time and being able to, I guess, traverse your way from one timeline to another, which I believe is something that you're training yourself or have trained yourself how to do.
Working on it.
You're working on it.
a work in progress.
Yeah. We're talking then about control. And, you know, if the glitch is there for us and was maybe placed there by a higher part of ourselves so that we could learn more about who we really are, who is controlling this experience, and is there a way that you think you can control it?
That really is the ultimate question for me. One thing that I know for sure is that whoever is what I call the time shift game masters, whoever can affect a time shift, they must remain outside of these coexisting timelines, or they themselves would become a part of the program, which puts the brain through an assimilation program that creates a veil of amnesia over these coexisting timelines. So whoever they are, they have the ability to remain outside of the work.
That's interesting, very, very interesting. I love that theory, and I agree with you. I agree with you, except on one point.
Okay.
I think we're the game masters, and we're the ones who put that glitch in there so that we can rise up out of this program having completely immersed ourselves in it.
Well, I think you're half right. Now, any time that I think about these things, Liz, I'm always willing to be corrected somewhere down the line, but I'll tell you what I think at this moment, okay? I think that the glitch is there, exactly as you say, because we need it to be there so that we can open up the door, open up the window, and see the truth so that we can gain the power, we can gain the control, we can gain our own origins, who we are, where we come from, how it all works, and stop the process of what I consider the hijacking of our souls, the hijacking of our brains, the hijacking of our timelines, possibly for purposes which we have not given permission to.
Yes. Oh, okay? Actually, I agree with all of that.
Okay. Now, so far, in my discoveries and research on time shifts, I have yet to be able to find any way, shape, or form that a single human or a whole group of human beings, no matter how hard they try, they cannot create an actual time shift. Not a time shift. But, what I have discovered is that human beings can control and create something called a reality shift, or the shifting of realities within the timeline. In other words, this shifting of realities or reality shift can alter the timeline without creating an actual other timeline.
Okay, so basically what you're saying is that you're able to, and can probably teach other people how to edit the timeline that they're on right now.
That's right.
So that it is something that they are much happier with.
Well, you know, because of how I see the world, from perhaps a somewhat unique point of view, I made a choice a long time ago that when I studied and developed the actual science of reality shift manifestation, that it was not going to be about helping individual people have individual better lives. Although, of course, I want people to live happy lives, I want them to be able to utilize what I teach to do that, but I prefer to teach people how to do reality fest manifestation to help heal themselves, heal others, heal the planet. I prefer to use reality shift manifestations to help animals and people and knowledge on a grander level than just the individual. So when someone is doing a reality fest manifestation, I want them to take it beyond themselves. I want it to be service to others.
We're talking to Starfire Tor. She runs the Interdimension List on Yahoo Groups, or at yahoogroups.com, and she has a website which is at starfiretor.com, and that is StarFireTor. We're going to get into reality shift manifestations and all about how to switch on our multidimensional anatomy so that you out there can begin to edit some timelines in a responsible and healthy way as well. That's coming up on Otherware when we return. We'll be right back.
again, surfers on the lines of time, welcome to Otherwhere, the show designed to help you get a handle on your hologram. Feel like an upgrade, download, reset, or synchronization to the 2006 timeline? Well, you've come to the right place, as
Hi, this is Colleen Nicholson, an animal communicator in Syracuse, New York. And when I'm listening to the radio, searching for thought-provoking topics to listen on, I check into Otherwhere from bbsradio.com with Liz Miller.
Downloading Otherwhere.
You're listening to Otherwhere, and this is bbsradio.com. My name is Liz Miller. My guest this week is Starfire Tor. We're talking about timeline anomalies, the core matrix, and out-of-body experiences, amongst much, much more. We're currently on the subject of reality shift manifestations, and Starfire, let's continue that thought and explain to people how exactly they can create a reality shift manifestation.
Right. Well, I first began to develop reality shift manifestation protocols by studying time shifts, the core matrix, and how reality shifts naturally work in everyday life, because reality shifts do come naturally to people. They do it all the time, every day. Most of the time, they don't realize it. But I needed to understand the mechanism. I needed to understand it, and I needed to make sure that I could develop a protocol that if I did it the same protocol every time, I would get the same outcome. And that's what I did. And so I've been teaching on my list reality shift manifestation protocols. Now, the basics are this. As we just discussed, there are many, many, many coexisting timelines. So when you're going to do a reality shift manifestation, you use your brain, the interface of your brain, and you tune into various other coexisting timelines, and you search out for a byte, a bit, a stream, a scene that has the outcome that really exists in some other coexisting timeline. For example, let's say that you wanted to do a healing, and you wanted to help someone heal. Now, if you could find another coexisting timeline where that person did not have the illness, or where the cure for the illness existed, or some better timeline for that person, then you do what's called a copy-paste from that coexisting timeline, just like you would on any document on your computer. You do a copy-paste. You never take from a coexisting timeline. Everything remains there, just a copy. And you copy-paste it. It's through your brain. It's through your bio-software of your brain. You copy-paste it into your dominant timeline. It's instantaneous. And that's one of the ways that Reality Fest manifestation, I'm saying Reality Fest, that's so interesting. I mean Reality Shift manifestation healing works. And we've tried these experiments on my list on a number of occasions, and we've had some excellent results. So,
well, yeah. All I can say is, wow. That is one technique I have never heard of before or come across anywhere else. And there are plenty of techniques.
Well, this is what I want to teach,
I'm sure you know there are plenty of techniques out there to help you create your own reality, in quotes. And this is another technique that is kind of, you know, trying to achieve the same sort of thing, but copying and pasting from another reality, just like you would from a Word document into another one, I think that is genius.
Well, I've been experimenting it for years, and it works, very, very well. I'm able to teach it to others, and they're able to make it work. I do strongly believe that we are at a time where human beings are being offered to take a step to take back their power. Absolutely, if they're aware of time shifts and the coexisting timelines and the core matrix, this is my language, of course, then their brain has just opened up, and never again will it be shut down. Once you open it,
It never shuts down. Now, I've noticed for the many, many, many years that I've been on my ID list and that I've taught people about my research and discoveries and that my group has actually participated in the research and in Psi missions, one thing I notice is once somebody actually experiences a time shift, in other words, is absolutely aware of it, and their brain knows, okay, that happened. It's not because somebody told me that it exists. I now know from my own experience that it happened. Once a person has this, they are forever an aware brain. And that means that the awareness of the brain also allows a better link between the soul and the brain communicating. And it's only through this merging, this good communication through the soul and the brain, is everything really going to be empowered through the human, through the human experience. We're not really supposed to ascend. We're really supposed to get control of and understand who we are, maybe close down some of the timelines and retire them, maybe utilize them to find the best one. Think about it, Liz. If we have the ability to bring about a world which can have genuine understanding, enlightenment, peace, yet we can still be strong and smart and aware, what is left for us to do? To really know that people have an actual straight access to the truth. That's what I'd like to. If I can give a gift, that's my gift. And by opening up the brain to the existence of time shifts and coexisting timelines and the ability to reality shift manifest, if I can give that gift and turn on that switch and help people to anchor, to me, it all gets better from that point.
Sounds very, very good, and it sounds like a plan. And I know that this is a plan that you're actually working on right now, retiring some of
implemented.
The timelines. I'd like to know which timelines you'd like to retire.
Well, I say that, you know, sort of as a writer, I'm saying I'd like to retire that script. But actually, what, you know, we are people, and let's please all understand that we came into this world without a complete blueprint of who we are. Our genetics are not complete. We have no innate memories of where we come from. Anybody and anyone can create a false reality for us of how we came to be on the planet. And none of this is real. We need to have at our disposal the truth because we can handle the truth. That's also a gift that I would like to give. And it's not for me to determine what that truth is. I just want to make it available.
Well, the question I would have is there one truth or are there multiple truths?
There is going to be one quantum truth. And from that truth, you're going to still have all these coexisting timelines with all of these various events going on. But, you know, once you really understand how it all works, how it all functions, where we really came from, what our true relationship is with ourselves, the cosmos, the multi-dimensions, then we begin to rein it in. We begin to make the rules. We begin to, that's the first day for the beginning of all of us, where we begin to write our own program. And so far, we have not had that ability except in very small doses, very small lists.
Starfire, why do you think reality is set up this way, where there are these coexisting timelines, and if you are able to perceive that reality, that you can then manipulate those timelines?
I can't really say I know the exact answer. I have some theories, and one of those theories is that at some point there will be an original world, an original timeline, an original cosmos, and for some reason, in some way, someone attempted to alter it, possibly even time travelers, in just going through the effect of moving through time, space, dimensions, frequencies, they created a split or a copy. And
it may just have self-perpetuated from that moment. That's the easy way out, Liz. Beyond that, we get into a deeper, almost conspiratorial view where someone has been trying to take control of the various dimensions, worlds, vortexes, planets, cosmos, and there's been what I call a time wars, where various factions have the ability to alter events and timelines, which then cause a time shift, and they alter events in order to give themselves some sort of advantage or power, probably something that we don't even recognize as power, you know, something way above and beyond us. And then another faction says, oh, I'm going to fix that. And then they create their own fix, and that's another time shift, and more coexisting timelines get created, and then infinitum, how many do you have? So it appears to me that we are engaged in a time wars. And I can't really tell you whether any of the factions are the good guys or the bad guys. You know, sometimes the best intentions can go terribly wrong. I don't know the answer.
Let's talk a little bit about how this phenomenon has, I guess, followed you around a little bit since you were a little girl, for you to have even become aware of it in the first place. Can you recall any particular moments in your childhood when you were really surprised by something that happened and and it involved a timeline anomaly?
Well, I think that the biggest surprise... Well, I have a memory, or perhaps it's a soul memory, of before I was born into the body that I'm in now.
Right.
And I remember, as a very small child, I realized when I got born, I went, what happened? This isn't right. You know, and I suddenly found myself in a world very odd. I still look at the world like I'm a stranger in a strange land. This is in no way correct. Nothing here. This is all some sort of a video game.
Yeah.
You know, to me, and I've had to learn how to take it seriously, but this is just not right, Liz. So, I mean, I remember when I was a very, very small girl, perhaps the age of five, I remember in my bedroom at night, three people. I'm not going to describe what they look like because should I ever find anyone else who had the same experience, I don't want to front load what they actually look like. But
fair
I'm just
going
to say that three people appeared at the foot of my bed, and I leaped up in front of my pillow, and one of them came around to the side of my bed, lifted me up into his arms. I remember putting my arm around his head and sort of touching the side of his head. I do know that we spoke telepathically. And it was very simple. He asked me a question. He said, do you want to come with us or do you like it here? Liz, I don't know what I was thinking. But I don't know. I just said, I like it. I don't know what. And so, you know, and he just said, all right, we'll be back for you. And he put me down, and he actually tucked me in bed. He went back to where the other two guys were standing at the base of my bed. In fact, there was a window there, and there was a moon, and it was shining through. And then they just vanish. Okay, I saw them appear, and I saw them vanish. And I leap out of bed, and I look out the window, and I see what, in my child's mind, I see spacecraft. I see craft up in the sky, and it's at night. I'll also tell you that when these three guys appeared in my room, my feeling was these were old friends returning. I knew them. Tra-la. How lovely to see you. How great to see you. I love seeing you. So why didn't I say, take me? Anyway,
I think perhaps your higher self, who chose to be here on Earth, probably kicked into gear at that particular moment and said, "No, no, she's staying."
I guess there's a smarter part to me I haven't met yet, but yes,
I think so. Well, your recollection of that experience is it echoes many other people's experiences of interactions with beings who are not from Earth or not of this dimension, at the very least.
Wow.
And I would expect, considering the subjects that we've been covering today during our conversation, that this experience happened to you because you're no different to anyone else out there who would consider themselves a star seed or, you know, an awakened soul who is multi-dimensionally aware. And we know, I think most people who listen to this show don't need any convincing whatsoever, because they've all had their own personal experiences of this.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that there is more than this third dimensional reality, and that there are many, many other kinds of life out there in the universe, or in here, on the inner planes, whichever way you want to look at it, beyond human life and the life that you find here on just this planet. We touched on it earlier, but I would like to go a little more deeply into this whole idea of the Game Masters or the Time Lords,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, whatever term you want to give it. There are beings who you believe have some ability to control the coexisting timelines that are broadcast like frequencies to be tuned into. And there seems to be not just them, but maybe there is actually a hierarchy of beings that are able to access the timelines, but in different ways and with different abilities to control it.
That's right.
So could you just give us your thoughts on all of that?
Sure can. One of the ways that time shifts probably occur is as a result of time travelers moving through coexisting timelines, or in effect, time travel, okay? What I always tell people about time travel is you really need to expect that at some time in the past, some time currently, or some time in the future, time travel has been perfected. Therefore, time travelers are here now, okay?
Okay.
Another thing that I wish to point out is something called the grandfather paradox. This is that old time travel paradox conundrum where they say, gee, if we go back in time and kill our own parents or grandparents, would we then cease to be?
That's only assuming that there's one timeline only.
Well, exactly. But the thing about time travel is that once you leave your point of origin, you cannot go backwards and forward into the timeline of your point of origin. You automatically move into coexisting timelines. So let's say I wanted to go to yesterday, okay? And I know how to tune in the frequency to yesterday. I'm not tuning into this timeline yesterday. I'm going to find a coexisting timeline, and we just move across. And again, when I say move across, it's not linear. It is not linear. That's just a visual that I'm creating, okay? So you just move, you step across to a coexisting timeline, which is in the a day before mode. So you're not really ever in the timeline that you originated from. Therefore, you can never go back in time and eradicate yourself by eradicating one of your ancestors.
Right. It
cannot happen. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, it's a big topic. It's a big topic.
It's a great subject, though, and I really love talking about that grandfather paradox and how there are many ways you can actually get around it. It's just you've got to expand your thinking, you know, get off this whole one-track mind sort of mentality, or one-timeline-only mentality.
Right.
But I am fascinated with what the implications of moving timelines is, you know, if you were to tune in to the frequency of yesterday, for example, are you able to get back to the frequency of today once you've gone there?
No.
No. So you're never able to re-enter the same timeline or the original timeline that you perceived yourself on.
Unless you have some way to remain outside of
the energy right. of the frequencies.
Right.
And that in itself is an enigma, because you and I, as we're talking about this, we're inside the enigma.
Yeah.
So, you know, we don't know. We can think about it, and I think about it. But right now, you know, time travelers, just by the effort of moving from coexisting timeline to coexisting timeline in an effort to move to the past, to the future, or whatever they're doing, that can affect a time shift. The very act of their moving through these coexisting timelines can trigger, can constitute the changing of an event in that coexisting timeline, which can trigger the editing of the coexisting timeline, which in turn triggers the time shift.
Okay.
So, you know, so a time traveler can be creating all of these coexisting timelines, can be creating all of these time shifts, and that's not really their main goal. Their main goal is just to travel. Yet they're creating all of this wake,
mm-hmm.
this a time shift wake.
Yeah.
So one time shift is going to be natural. The second time shift can be time travelers who are creating this time shift wake. And then we have three and four. Three is going to be from the very beginnings of who we are. Perhaps they're ETs. Perhaps they're us. Perhaps there's some form of us, or perhaps a merging of us and who begot us. But there is a part of the human brain and the soul and the body and the grid patterns and the energy of the planet and the energy of the coexisting timelines that, if you know just how to do it, if you're just attuned to it properly, people can create altered timelines and manifestation. I am actually taking that intellectual step to see, is it possible for me to be that time traveler or be that time shifter who can actually create the editing in the timeline? My brain has begun to think in these terms. I still swear by my original research that this can't be done, but suddenly something in me says, maybe I can. Maybe I can find a group of people. Maybe we can. Don't know, Liz, but my brain goes there. Okay? So part of the time shift game masters are going to be these ancient forces. I use the word occult. That's inadequate completely. But these were people who had almost complete control of all things within the timeline. Okay?
Right.
And these people, they're still with us. They don't live in the same exact dimension as we do. They do live in the altered dimensional world. They can, just to put it bluntly, they can have their own little fortress of solitude in the middle of New York City, and you won't see it.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
And the fourth time shift masters, I believe, are extraterrestrial. I believe that these are the meddlers. These are the biggest meddlers that we have.
And why do you think they've been doing the meddling in the first place? Have you got any thoughts on that?
I do. This is just my philosophy of it. It's my take on it. I have no hard evidence that I can trot out, you know, to the scientist and say, well, here's my proof that the ETs did it. No. It's intellectual. I have viewed their relationship with the planet. I think it's a bungled job all the way through. Everything with the with those abductions that are real and they're being able to move through dimensions. You know, when you just look at the way real ET craft can move, they blink in, they blink out. That's moving through dimensions, okay? That means that they have a particular technology. But I also see what's not happening on the planet. I look back in history and I see some sort of interference and involvement. Possibly these are attempts to help us. Perhaps these are attempts to enslave us. I think that's a point of view. But I look at the ETs as bunglers. I'm sorry, but I do. Okay? And I think that there has been an attempt to gain some sort of ground control, some sort of power, some control, some sort of an experiment, the changing of events, the changing of a lot of things, and none of it's very good.
Mm.
None of it's ever been very good.
When you speak of ETs, that's a very large kind of, that's a word that can bring in a lot of different races of ETs, a lot of different influences on this planet. Are you referring to one particular or main collection of ETs, or are you just lumping them all in the same basket?
I'm not going to lump them. I'm actually going to give them an origin. I am going to pinpoint the ETs that were involved with the original scientific experiment on the planet that begot human beings. I'm talking about those who came here to terraform and to bioform on this planet. These are the ETs that are talked about in the Sumerian clay tablets, that the Hopis talk about. It's in every creation legend practically. Those ETs.
Right. Okay.
They're nowhere to be found today. They created all of this. They set evolution on a crazy course. There's no blueprint, no owner's manual, and you have all of these human beings who don't even have a clear memory of their own origins. I call that bumbling.
I do.
Sorry,
too.
But I do. Okay? And, I think that if these people are still around somewhere, they have an obligation. However, I also think that the same mentality that went into terraforming and bioforming, that same loss of morals and ethics, these are not really the people that we can call on to help us. So we need ourselves to raise up our intelligence, raise up our knowledge. We need to meet the challenge, and we need to free ourselves and not be dependent on ET this or spirit guide that, or yes, if you find really good ones and honest ones, use them as friends and allies, but not leaders and not determiners.
Mm.
And certainly anybody who does anything to hijack our souls, our brains, our worlds, our timelines, say no. Just say no. We really need to replace the ignorance with intelligence. And that intelligence, now this is my opinion, Liz, but I think that we are best served if we can switch on our own brains and souls and have the memories come to us independently. In other words, be in direct with whatever and not being handed to it like, well, here's a booklet of who you are, and this is how you work, and this is where you came from. That's all well and good, but I think that we need to generate our own DNA, our own dynamics. We need to evolve so that we can be our own people.
Mm. That's exactly why you're on the show today, because in our next segment we're going to get into our multidimensional anatomy, what you think is actually operating within your own body system or systems that is allowing you this access to, being able to get a bigger picture, to lift yourself up out of 3D, basically, and see what really is going on. So that's all when we return. This is Otherwhere. I'm Liz Miller, and our guest this week is Starfire Tor.
Hello again, surfers on the lines of time. Welcome to Otherwhere, the show designed to help you get a handle on your hologram. Feel like an upgrade? Download? Reset or synchronization to the 2006 timeline? Well, you've come to the right place, as Otherwhere welcomes back staff. We'll be right back.
listening to Otherwhere, and my name is Liz Miller. We're speaking with Starfire Tor this week all about time travel, timeline anomalies, time shifts, reality shifts, and the core matrix. And part of all of that are the phenomenon of OBEs, or out-of-body experiences. This is a phenomenon that Starfire has had a lot of experience with. So let's just quickly tell the audience, what exactly is an OBE, and when was the first time you had an experience of one?
An OBE is an out-of-body experience, or what was called astral travel. And probably the first time I had it was when I was a very, very, very small child. I remembered floating up above my bed, floating out the window, and meeting other children and playing, floating around. Well, when I was a little child, I thought that that's what everybody did. But I learned very quickly that this was something different. And in later years, I learned about out-of-body travel, and I recognized what happened to me. You know, I would become paralyzed. This buzz would start from my toes, go all the way up through my body like a hum, and then suddenly, whoop, I'd lift out of my body. OBE.
And so you were a little kid? And
yes. Probably two or three would be my first memory.
Right. Yeah. Do you know, because you said you mentioned playing with other kids, were those other kids having OBEs at the same time, or what was happening there?
Liz, that's a great question. I've never been able to find out, because in my waking world, I've never, ever met any of those children.
Right.
So I really don't know who they were.
Okay. And when it first began, I assume it was completely spontaneous. And
yeah. Oh, yeah, sure.
You had no control over it whatsoever. Nowadays, has that changed?
Well, yes. Over the years, I have developed a technique that I call the Body of Light OBE technique, where I can direct myself to have an OBE. I teach this on my list, Interdimension, and for those who can utilize it, my list does do certain psi astral missions, some of them for fun, some of them to help others, and this is one of the techniques that's used.
Why is it something that you've wanted to pursue as a technique that you can control?
I have been dumbfounded all of my life with the ability to actually have a psychic dream or an OBE where I'm seeing something happen, a plane crash, a boat tipping over, somebody in trouble, and then within minutes, hours, or days, that actual event happens in the waking world, you know? And then I realized, oh my gosh, maybe there's a way that instead of just being at its disposal, being spontaneous, maybe there's some way that I can control this OBE phenomena, and I can actually go out there looking for events. Maybe if I did that, I could save lives. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to understand the mechanism, and I wanted to do it to save lives. That was it.
So let's talk about something that's happened since then that you know has helped save lives.
Well, my goodness, happens quite a bit, I'm sorry. I usually don't publicize the work that I do. I can think of something that happened called the runaway train.
Okay.
This actually was not my precog. It was a member on my list called Aurora. This happened in 2001, and I had created something called the Dream Team. And the Dream Team was expressly to use every single psi ability that people have in order to gather information so that we could intervene in a future tragedy and hopefully save lives. So a person could use OBE, dreams, meditation, psychic phenomenon, remote viewing, whatever their specialty was. It would all come together on the Dream Team. I was the team leader. It would be up to me to determine if some psi experience that was posted was actually worthy of a Dream Team mission. And that would mean that it was up to me to determine if this was actually a probable future event. So one day, Aurora posts on the list that she had a week and a half worth of train disasters, death, and carnage. And the minute I saw that, I knew that this was a future event dream mission, dream team mission. This was not my precog, but I then did my side data download, and when I did this, I was able to tie into her precog, and I saw the whole thing. I saw the whole thing. Now, a day after she posted this, I did the side data downloads. My list got very involved. We began to look for this train. This was on May the 14th, 2001. On May the 15th, a list member posts and says, hey, put on CNN. There's an out-of-control train, nobody on board, and it has hazardous materials. This is going to be a terrible wreck, a lot of disaster. That train needs to be stopped. I turned on the TV, saw it, Liz. I knew that was the train.
Wow.
So I put my team together. I did my side data download, but this time, Liz, I did my reality shift manifestation side data download. I took a look at every coexisting timeline that I could possibly tune into until I found one where I saw what I thought was the best outcome. I saw a man getting on board the train and stopping it. Now, already on television, the news had reported that they had tried to get a man on board and failed. They had tried to derail it and failed. They'd even tried, I think somebody tried to shoot the engine and failed. They had tried to do some sort of braking or remote switching. All these things had failed. Okay?
Okay.
So, but I saw a very powerful timeline. I saw one of the coexisting timelines where a man got on board that train, and I posted onto my list. And this is all documented, Liz, and you can also read about it on my website, that everybody should focus on getting that man onto that train, but it was a coexisting timeline copy-paste.
Right.
Liz, 20 minutes later, a man boarded that train, stopped that train, no disaster. And it's all documented with the date, timestamps, and everything.
Well, it certainly must make you feel incredibly satisfied and fulfilled when that kind of event happens. I can't really imagine what that would feel like, actually. What
it
was
feels
it like?
Great. I mean, the greatest high that I can get is saving people, helping people, doing something to make people's life better, genuinely better. And if I can avert a disaster, hey. And at the same time, I'm teaching.
Yes. And you were certainly using the collective power of intention in that particular scenario as well as the copy and paste protocol that you developed.
Well, I'm sure that some people, you know, did use only intent, but to actually pull this off, you really do have to follow the protocols of reality shift manifestation.
Yeah.
That's
kind
of part of the, you know, part of the success thing.
You remind me of Russell Targ or Ingo Swann or any one of those, you know, early remote viewers who brought it into the world, and how much of a, they're all sticklers for protocol. And they basically say, well, you know, you can be psychic or you can be a remote viewer. The difference is that you're employing protocols, very specific ones, to achieve a desired outcome. And
that's
in
right,
this case, you're doing exactly the same thing.
Well, the protocols are everything, Liz, because that means that you can repeat it and get the same outcome.
Yeah, that's so important. When people who are gifted psychically or as healers or as, you know, out-of-body experiences, there can be wonderful experiences, very significant experiences gained through having, you know, spontaneous things happen in those realms, but when you can actually bring in a protocol, you can direct that energy, you can focus that energy and and channel it in a way that hopefully will bring the best result forward. And that's the difference, isn't it?
Yes, and I also wish to say that it's wonderful when you can get a group of people doing this in the astral, meeting in a dimension where normally it's other types of entities. I mean, we meet the other entities there, but, you know, I just also want to say that for the very first time in my life, many, many, many years ago, when I was developing these protocols, I didn't do it alone. I had help. And I'm just going to say this without fear of ridicule, but I literally met people who I know to be angels. You know, I kind of thought that they were real. You know, intellectually, I thought, angels, sure. I mean, I don't mean angels connected to a religion. I meant, you know, those beings in those other dimensions that are really there to help people.
Yes.
And to guide them.
Yes.
Well, when I did my first OBE rescue, I was a little child of maybe 3 years old. And I remember lifting out of my body, and I flew over my house, and I met this angel. And the angel said to me, you know, you are going to save lives, and this is one of the ways that you're going to do it. And he took this long, like, rope, I guess it was an ethereal rope, and he made like a cowboy would, and he said, look up there. And we looked up in the sky, and we saw this plane, and it was sputtering, and it was in trouble, and it was going to crash. And he took this lasso, and he lassoed the plane, and he said, help me hold it. And he taught me the secret of how I could use myself, my psi abilities, to rescue these planes, rescue these things, do all these things. So from a very early time, this man, taught this to me at this very early age, and that's what propelled me to be who I am today. This was an angel.
How did they appear to you?
A person, a man.
Was there a feeling that accompanied being around them?
Oh, yes. And because I've met these people again over the years and still meet with these people regularly, there is a feeling like you are between worlds. There is a vibration that you feel, which is as if you're hearing chimes at the same time as you're feeling like this. You can't see yourself vibrate, but I'm sure that if you looked at me, I'd be slightly out of phase,
mm-hmm.
a slight yep. blur.
Yep.
And there's a feeling of complete joy. It's hard to describe what absolute, complete abandonment and joy is. And then you know that you're in the presence of someone who deeply cares about you, has a history with you, with your soul. And that everything that you are going to experience is going to be the deepest part of the truth of your soul, and it's never going to get better. That when I was about 3 years old, that was the experience.
That's such a special thing to have grown up with, and I can see how it has influenced you in your life to be doing what you're doing today. What do you feel is your mission?
I don't like to think about me having a mission. I do my best. And I think that
need to know what drives you.
I see a world in ignorance. I see it being used, abused, and hijacked in many dimensions, in many timelines, and in many, many ways by many factions. I don't like it. It upsets me. Because I see the cruelty that this brings about, the suffering, the pain. It's needless. It doesn't have to be there. And I have a soul memory of this place. I know the goodness that can be within people if they're given the opportunity not to have to scrap every day of their life just for survival, not to have to wage against a machinery, a political or social machinery that doesn't allow them to be free, to be just who they are. You know, I don't mean to sound, new agey there, but I feel it very deeply. I don't want to be a leader. I want to be a motivator. But I definitely know that I have the ability to turn on the light switch. I don't want people to just listen to my experiences. I want to make sure they have their own, and I know how to do it. I want people to be aware of the coexisting timelines, not because I say it, but because they experience it. You experience a timeline anomaly once, you'll never forget it. You'll never be the same.
And the world will open. It just opens, Liz.
Oh, I know. Actually, I'd really love to share one of my own. This happened last year when I was working on a friend. We were doing some energetic healing. And at one point during the session, my friend, who was on a massage table on her back with her arms by her sides, jerked one of her arms violently up into the air off the table. It fell back on the table. And while this happened, you couldn't see on her face that she was awake or conscious of that actually just happening. So I wasn't really sure what was going on. I saw it and went, that's interesting. And at the very same time, or virtually the same moment, I remember looking down and then looking up, because I was looking at her arm, and then I looked up. And at the same time I looked up, the room shifted slightly. It was a moment. It was an eye blink. Mm-hmm. But there was a glitch in time that I felt, and not just perceived, you know, like I felt the time shift.
Yes, that's right.
And I didn't really know what to do with it. I thought, gee, that's interesting. What just happened then?
It's like a jump cut.
It's like a jump cut. That's exactly what I saw.
Right. And what you saw was the post-time shift. You saw it was the downtime and then rev back up.
Yeah. And so what happened after the session was I asked my friend if she remembered anything about her arm jumping. And she said, well, actually, I was reliving a past life experience that she believes was around the Middle Ages, around the 1400s.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a life where she lived as a holy person who preached in that lifetime at that, during that memory, an angry mob actually found her. It was a bunch of men, and they pulled out her tongue, and she died. And the arm jerking was exactly at that moment when her tongue was being ripped out of her mouth, and she was reliving the pain of it all. And I said, why do you think you were remembering that at that time? And she said, I really don't know, but all I can tell you is that I feel as though it's okay now, that I was able to release the trauma from that experience, and now I'm able to move forward. And so I told her, well, that's very interesting, because at the same time you experienced that, I had my own perceptions of what was going on, and I felt intuitively that we had somehow healed a timeline.
Do you know when this happened, to recall?
I think it might have been around March or April. Any reason why you're asking?
Well, yes, because you should look back on the list and see if there are any reports of time shifts at that time.
Ah, okay. So if I have a personal time shift, I can then maybe find out that there was a collective time shift?
Well, time shift is collective.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't matter whether anybody experiences it. It's going to happen.
Right, so everyone experiences it in some
way. It's an entire cosmic change. Right.
That's fascinating. But the reality shifts are things that we can bring into our personal lives.
Localized.
Locally,
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, good to make that differentiation.
I try my best to always remind you of that. And thank you for bringing it up again.
And now, what is coming into play in our bodies, in our physical selves, in our multidimensional selves, when we are experiencing these time shifts, when we're, you know, able to access the astral realm through OBEs, like you've described? What exactly is working there? What are the programs that are running?
Well, I'm going to tell your listeners a little bit of a secret that I think they will be very interested to receive. It's about dreaming. You know, dreaming is something most of us do, all of us do, but most of us remember them. And dreaming is just a phenomenal thing. There can be psychic dreaming. There can just be everyday drudgery dreaming. There can be nonsense dreaming. There can be hypnagogic dreaming. There can be OBE astral. But we sleep so much and we dream so much. Why is it that science really doesn't understand dreaming? Why is it that science keeps telling us that it's just the brain reliving the day's events? I mean, anyone who has ever dreamed about a future event knows that that's not the truth. Why isn't there a great deal of money put behind understanding dreams? I'm going to tell you why. when you dream, remember the brain is the interface to the core matrix and the coexisting timelines. When you're dreaming, you're actually accessing streaming data, sometimes raw data from the core matrix, sometimes other coexisting timelines. So when you OBE and you're dreaming, you're really more aware and in touch with what we're talking about today.
Okay.
Than when you're awake and your dreaming self is dampened. So remember that. So when I'm talking about precogs, or when anyone has something psychic happen in a dream, like they dream about a discussion with a friend and the next day they have that discussion, anything of that nature, you are really accessing time.
And the core matrix.
Yes, you're accessing the core matrix, the actual programs, the actual coexisting timelines, and depending on who you are, what your frequency is, what you're tuning into, you know, all the various things about you depends on what you're going to pick up. Now, some people have certain genetics. Some people's brains have certain frequencies that they are just, I don't know, that word called psychic rolls around there, but it's not a very accurate word. It's more like your brain is aware of the various dimensions. You're picking up your side data download. So you're asking about what's happening to your body? Well, you can actually program your brain before you go to sleep to be aware of what I'm talking about right now, about the core matrix, the coexisting timelines. And when you do this, this is your first form of time travel.
Uh-huh.
And it's also related to memories of reincarnation. And this is what I want you to always keep in mind. Scientists feel that humans use possibly maybe 10% of their brain, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, in science, when a part of your body stops to work, like your appendix, or when you've broken a leg and it's been in a cast for 6 weeks, it shrivels up. The body atrophies. When you don't use a part of it, it atrophies, okay? Now, if we're only using 10% of our brain, why is 100% of our brain functioning? Why hasn't 90% of it atrophied? No. Scientists know that 100% of our brain is firing off. It's electrical circuitry. What is it doing, Liz? I'll tell you. It's creating these coexisting timelines. It's wet software.
Right.
Okay? This is what I'm telling people. Your brains are actually creating. You are the wet software that the core matrix is running the program through your brain. And the dreaming brain is the key that says, wake up, wake up. The dream is telling you about your brain is an interface to the core matrix. Okay?
That is so beautifully put. Thank
okay?
you.
You're welcome. So now you have this 90% of the brain which is active. It's functioning. In fact, when you're dreaming, it's usually doing more work than ever. Why? Because your brain is running the coexisting timelines. And if you have these time shift game masters creating these time shifts, trying to rule these worlds, you better believe that 90% of our brainware has been hijacked. But it can only continue if people don't know they've been hijacked. Hence, I consider it my pleasure to inform you. My mission, consider that one of them. one of many.
Oh, I'll stop.
See how it works? What a trip, huh?
What a trip.
Thanks for joining me. My name's Liz Miller. If you've just tuned in, this is Otherware. You're listening to an interview with Starfire Tor, and we will find out whether Starfire has met any other versions of herself on her journeys along the lines of time.
Starfire, have you ever in your journeyings come across other versions of you?
I have, Liz, and thank you for asking. After I discovered time shifts and I realized this enormous ability to move through space and time, I decided to try an experiment, and that was to see if I could contact my younger self in an earlier time so that I could pass myself messages, words of wisdom, things like that. And it wasn't until I became an adult that I realized that when I was a little girl, I actually met a woman who appeared in my home and talked to me very briefly about future events, a future me, many things that I've never forgotten. And then when I was an adult, I realized that was me. I was the adult who came to the young me giving me words of wisdom.
Wow, it just sounds like a scene out of a movie.
It's one of my great eureka moments.
What was it that sparked off that remembrance for you to realize that it was actually you?
Honestly, I was moving through all these experiments with reality shift manifestation and having lots of psychic dreaming. And then one day, I just looked in the mirror. And what looked back was the lady. I called her the lady. And that was it. I went, oh, my. And then it was like a flashback.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I can see it right now. And do you think that you will ever have another experience like this again? Or is it something that you would actually try to achieve?
I am trying every day of my life to find myself, to educate myself. In fact, I think that a lot of the discoveries that I've made are because I'm working with myself to do it. Like when I discovered time shifts, I tried my very best by going into the vortex to send a message to myself in various timelines what I had discovered, what I went through, and also things to avoid.
Wow, it's just so fascinating. A couple of words of caution. I always like to balance out what we've been talking about with cautionary remarks, just to make sure that people do not play with what we've given them today in an irresponsible manner. Is there a way that you can be an out-of-body experiencer without being a tourist of the astral realm?
When I teach out-of-body travel, I first teach safety. Because there are entities, and particularly lower astral realm people, such as the shadow people, who are very annoying, they can be scary, and some of them are rather vampiric. They like your energy. They want it. They're attracted to it. So I teach methods of protection, you know, very much the way that you do. I'm sure that you're very aware of all these protections, Liz, because I'm learning that about you. But when you want to do intentional OBE, meditation, psi data download, go into the vortex, any of these things, you must provide not only a shield for all of you in the multi-dimensions, okay? You know, it's not just putting a little bright white light around you and thinking that that's going to do it. It's a wonderful beginning, but it's not the whole shebang. You have to be able to know how to create, and this is actually creating virtual reality type firewalls, if you will, that follow you through all the dimensions that you will be, so that you can walk unfettered, you can meet friendlies unfettered, you know, it's like allowing certain energies and entities to interact with you, but those who are not within your friendly zone, the firewall is there, and they cannot touch you at all, period.
So I teach that's very important.
Great. And if people would like to know about some more of the techniques that you do teach and that you've shared with your list, where can they go to find the Interdimension list?
I'm on Yahoo Groups. Just look for inter-dimension at yahoogroups.com. That's me, Starfire Tor. You'll find us there.
And tell me a little bit about some of the characters that are on the list. There are nearly 1,200 members, I believe. There's quite
a lot of
members in the group. And
right.
Some of them have been part of the group since it was first put on the net many, many years ago now.
1997.
Yes. So I'm sure that you've probably made some pretty good friends and met some very, very interesting people and probably heard some amazing stories as well.
I've had some of the most wonderful people on my list. I mean, longtime members like Ragman, who's in Australia, and Sherry Lorraine, who's my webmaster. And, I mean, I don't want to talk about any more individuals, but the three of us have been on the list the longest. And people come from all walks of life. You know, I've got scientists, I've got politicians, military, a couple of world leaders, regular people, contractors, housewives, nurses, doctors, radio show hosts. I've got lots of different type of people. They're all there to have one experience. Learn. Okay? And it's all about the multidimensional learning effort. So.
And could you share perhaps a tale from the list? I know that there have probably been thousands upon thousands of different stories, but perhaps you could share something that has corroborated a story that we might know of from popular culture. I think one of the most famous time travel experiments that people might know of is the Philadelphia experiment. Have you
right.
had anyone come along who has been able to confirm or deny the
well,
veracity?
Actually, thank you, Liz, for asking that. Actually, I myself did the intense research on the Philadelphia experiment, and I can tell you that it was a hoax. It was a hoax from the beginning. It always was a hoax. And the Eldridge, which was the ship that allegedly was used, it actually was sold to another country. If the government had used the Eldridge for a time travel experiment or even a stealth experiment where they phased it out of the dimension or moved it around the planet, they would not have sold it to another country. I found the Eldridge. I have photos and everything of them. So those people who have attached themselves to the Philadelphia experiment, claiming it to be real and hooking their own story onto the Philadelphia experiment, they would be hoaxing. But that's just the truth.
Sorry. Another very famous time traveler that we know of in popular culture, especially for those who've been spending a lot of time on the internet, is the John Titor story, hoax or truth?
Hoax.
And can you think of one other one that you could tell us? Actually, can you tell us a time travel story that we might know of that is true? That you've been able to prove
not
of
yet.
Is true?
No.
Very interesting.
No.
Well, that was good to find out.
No, you know, I think that most of the time travel stories that will come to pass will be from this point on. Not that have been in the past.
Yeah.
Because time travel is real. And I don't like it when hoaxers hijack the topic or the science or anything else. It keeps the truth from really coming out.
And lastly, you have some pretty interesting or some pretty different interests to what would be considered normal in the mainstream, I guess. Mm-hmm. Alien contact, paranormal events, prophecy, near-death experiences, mind control, Earth enigmas and mysteries. These are just some of your interests.
Right.
How has it been for you in terms of your own personal life and the experiences that you've had with time shifts and things with relationships? Has it ever been a problem for you? And if you've ever had a problem with a partner, have you ever tried changing the timeline?
That has been a problem. I do have a small core group of dear friends, and they put up with me.
they absolutely get indoctrinated into the whole thing, because if you're just around me, Liz, you are going to experience it. Kind of like what happened to Ann and Whitley Strieber. It's just, it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You are going to have a timeline anomaly if you stick with me.
Right.
You know, and I'm not making it happen. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
So this small core group of people, they've been through the fire. They've experienced it. And once you've had the experience, you're in, you know.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Yeah. And after that, everything's easy.
Yeah, but, you know, I do intimidate some people, and that can be hard. I'm a very friendly person. But
you
I can
seem very friendly to me.
I'm very friendly, but I can be, you know, I'm very sure about the things that I need to do in this world.
Yeah.
I really don't put up with nonsense.
Mm. Yeah.
Frauds or hoaxes or anything. I have no patience for it at all.
Well, I'm very grateful to you for putting up with me for the last 2 hours.
My pleasure.
I wish we had at least another hour to talk, because I would love to continue this conversation. There are still so many questions I have. So all I can say is, would you please come back and visit us again?
I would love to come back. I enjoy your mind so much, Liz. I think you're wonderful.
Thank you, Starfire. It's just been such a pleasure and so fascinating. I know there's going to be a lot of people out there who are going to think about what you said for a long time to come, and I can't thank you enough for that. Best of luck with everything that you undertake in the past, present, and future. And, yeah, if anyone would like to go check out what Starfire's doing, please go to starfiretour.com or Yahoo Groups, where you can find the interdimension list. Have a great evening, Starfire, and thanks again so much.
Thank you, Liz, very much.
Take care.
Bye-bye now.
To be welcoming someone I know that you will love to the show. Why? Because she is a very gifted and special lady who has worked with the healing properties of crystals and gemstones for more than 30 years. Her book, Rock Medicine, is one of my favorites. It's in my top 10 and it's never far from my reach. Since I've had it, I've used rock medicine for healing more ailments than I could mention, for not only myself but friends and family. It always works. There are no negative side effects. And once you've got the crystals, which for the most part can be very inexpensive, it's free. So make sure that you tune in next week for what will be a riveting conversation when we meet with Sheila Randazzo. And I hope you've enjoyed the show. Thanks so much for joining me. Have an incredibly wonderful week ahead, and I'll see you again next week with Sheila.